Have you heard the false accusation against John Piper? And there's more Facebook hypocrisy that'll get your holy blood boiling.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, it's Monday, and we are ready to go. We are ready to dive in. There is a whole lot that I want to talk to you about and some things that will get your holy blood boiling. And I want to hear from you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am pumped about this week's shows and about sharing whole lot of interesting guests with you and a whole lot of interesting and thought-provoking and life-changing topics. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. You can tweet me at Dr. Michael L. Brown. Of course, that's one word. Okay, John Piper, Facebook hypocrisy, issues having to do with Governor Romney, issues having to do with President Obama. Where in the world do we start? Here's where we're going to start. And then I'll throw my question out to you shortly. But here's where we're going to start. Many of you listening know what happened with me and Facebook a couple of weeks ago. On Facebook, we have a page for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and it's just a page for that book. And in fact, we hadn't used it much at all. I spend most of the time on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page when I'm on Facebook, but the page existed. We still put some reviews up there. People could still post relevant information up there. It's basically just about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Well, it got targeted by different gay activists who have Facebook pages that say, go after this guy, go after this guy, go after these posts, go after these comments. Number one, we have it listed, documented. Okay, we know that. There's no question about it. It's been documented for some time with others. And number two, there was an article, over a year ago, talking about how Facebook was teaming up with gay activist organizations to make sure that they're real sensitive to these issues. The bottom line is they have community standards that are supposed to be fair for everyone, and you're not supposed to offend this group or violate certain guidelines for anyone. Okay, well, my page got removed for A Queer Thing Happened to America, allegedly for violating community standards. I had an inside contact with Facebook through National Religious Broadcasters. A woman wrote back and apologized and said it was accidentally deleted. Well, it got accidentally deleted again the next day with strong warnings to my IT guy who had put the page up initially that one more time this page was up and he'd be permanently barred from Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then I sent the documentation as to who was behind this, what was happening, and hours later it got another response from the friend at Facebook or the contact at Facebook saying, we apologize, this never should have happened. We're putting safety measures in place to make sure this doesn't happen. It can't just be one person's complaint that gets something pulled or a few people's complaints. It's got to be looked at by a committee. You know, they've got teams because they make a ton of money. They got almost a billion people there, but a lot of things to watch out for. Well, anyway, that provoked that whole interaction. I wrote an article on Facebook censorship and hypocrisy that was published on Town Hall. I asked folks to pass it around on Facebook. It got over 1,700 recommends, meaning other people sharing it on their Facebook pages. So it got a lot of reads. And I pointed out the hypocrisy that other groups. Okay, you ready for this one? Gene emailed me. Unbelievable. A friend of mine who knows I'm a committed Christian and posts my beliefs and teaching constantly on Facebook messaged me with this title of a Facebook page. All right, and I'm going to censor it, of course, as I read it. F your effing God, you ignorant, blinded, dumb F. Okay? This is what the Facebook page is titled. So he writes to Facebook and says, this violates your community standards. And they write back and they say, after reviewing the report, we were not able to confirm that the specific page you reported violates Facebook's standards of rights and responsibilities. What? Back with my question for you. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, some very important programming notes. Tomorrow, I'll be joined by Professor Robert Gagnon. He's a New Testament scholar and the foremost biblical authority on the subject of the Bible and homosexual practice. We're also going to discuss counterfeit grace. This is going to be a fabulously important show. Also on Thursday, this hour, first hour of our broadcast, be interviewing David Brickner of Jews for Jesus. He's in the midst of interaction with Pastor John Piper about Israel having a right to the land today. David will be joining me all the first hour on Thursday. And for those that will be catching my second hour today, I'll be talking with Pastor Terry Sartain. He is a chaplain here along with a pastor in the greater Charlotte area. And Charlotte pastors have been told, Charlotte chaplains, that when they're doing a chaplain event, they cannot pray in the name of Jesus. A lot of interesting things to talk about. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's my question for you. In your circles, folks you talk to, folks you hang with, folks in your church fellowship, folks that you're closest to as believers, whatever your circle of believing friends is, are you seeing a rising tide of believers saying enough is enough? Are you seeing and sensing and feeling a rising tide of a holy, godly outrage, not a carnal anger, not a fleshly anger? You may see that too. But just as, say, you have the political uprising, say, the Tea Party-type groups in the political scene saying enough is enough, are you seeing that in the spiritual realm? Are you seeing believers saying enough is enough? Things are just wrong. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. We need revival. We need spiritual moral revolution. It's got to happen. We're just going around in circles. Or do you see the same kind of complacency, what's in it for me mentality? I just need Jesus to help me prosper more. Or, hey, things are okay in my family, so we're doing just fine. Are you finding more hunger, intensity, a spirit of, we've got to bring it, this is it. We need a revolution in the church and in the society. Are you feeling that rising, not just in your own heart, but in the circles in which you hang out? Or are you just sensing more of the same complacency, everything's fine, on with the show kind of mentality, building our own kingdom, bypass the cross, whatever's in it for me kind of message? I'm painting extremes here. But what are you hearing? What are you sensing? What's going on in your world? 866-34-TRUTH. I hear from you all the time, privately. I hear from you when I go out and speak and you come up and talk to me. And I know that many of you listen because you resonate with this voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. And the things I'm talking about are provoking something in your own heart. And you're saying, amen. Keep speaking it, brother. Keep shouting it out, brother. Keep letting your voice be heard. What are you hearing in your own circles? What's the atmosphere? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so again, my issue with Facebook is people are going to complain, a page with gay activists. Again, we have, it's not a mystery. These exist. You can just go there. There they are. And they'll say, okay, look at these comments. Look at this page. And then everyone starts targeting it. We found this offensive. We found this abusive. We found this violating the rights here of or the standards of Facebook and so on. And then the page gets pulled. It's happened to friends of mine that have posted comments and columns and articles. Boom, pulled, because you dare offend a gay sensibility. Now, listen, I will lay down my life for a gay man or woman or gay-identified man or woman or a bisexual, transgender-identified person who is being attacked. If there was a crowd of people trying to attack that person, I would stand up for them like I'd stand up for the finest believer in the world. I would do my best to stop that. And if getting involved in the melee was not wise, I'd instantly be calling 911. And so, because that's a human being created in the image of God that should not be attacked, should not be hated, and that every church door should be open to people saying, we have a message of hope and salvation for you. At the same time, I will not stop raising my voice about concerns I see in society. I will be, as many others, a watchman on the wall to speak the truth in love. So here we've got a page on Facebook for my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and there is not anything on that page that violates community standards at Facebook. Nothing. But it offends some people, so it got pulled, thankfully, reinstated. And honestly, I don't think if I had the voice that I have on radio and through columns on the internet and then an inside connection at Facebook that we would have gotten it restored as quickly as we did. So I commend them for doing that. But hang on. What about these horrifically, darkly offensive sites? Just like this one that I mentioned a moment ago. And it's all there. The profanity is all there. F your effing God, you ignorant, blinded, dumb F. And this guy reports and says, I find this offensive. And they say, thanks for your recent report of a potential violation on Facebook. After reviewing your report, we were not able to confirm that the specific page you reported violates Facebook's statements of rights and responsibilities. Huh? A book called The Queer Thing Happened to America, which soberly and with compassion and with academic soundness represents the transformation of our nation, the radical changes of our nation that have come through gay activism, that gets pulled? And a page, because it's offensive, and a page like this is not offensive? And there's scores of pages like this. One of my colleagues in Israel emailed me, Mike, I don't know if you've seen this, but it's really offensive, especially in light of Facebook shutting down your queer book page. And the title was Pro-Lifers Are Hypocrites. So I clicked on it, and I'm really sorry for what I'm about to describe, but it's there. I clicked on it, and to my shock, there's a picture, you know, artist rendering of someone that's supposed to be our savior. Okay, so it's just some foul artist rendering. Jesus has been called Satan and demonized every different way, so nothing new with that. It's still shocking to see, but it's a drawing of someone that's supposed to be our savior, open mouth kissing Satan. This other man with horn. I mean, it's like, ah, yuck. One of the grossest things I've ever seen in my life. Seriously. And that got reported, and it's still there. It's still there. You see, I see stuff like this, and it reminds me of the hypocrisy of the world. It reminds me of the lostness of the world. It reminds me of the state in which people find themselves today. In other words, Facebook to me is a picture of that. You dare take issue with certain topics, certain politically correct topics, certain sacred topics. You dare take issue with them. You will get bounced out in a hurry. But you can mock God. You can mock the gospel. You can mock Jesus. You can mock truth in the harshest, ugliest, foulest, most profane ways. Not a problem. I'm not surprised that the world is being the world, but we often fall asleep in the midst of it. I'm going to take your call shortly, 866-34-TRUTH. Are Christians starting to wake up? Are they starting to realize what is going on and saying, we've got to take a stand? Not a violent, ugly stand the way the world does, not a stand based on hatred, not a stand based on intimidation, but we got to start standing up in our own lives and living right. Getting rid of the hypocrisy and the sin and the junk in our own lives. And then we've got to start looking to bring about change and be agents of change. Pastors, leaders, we should be leading the way. We should be God's prophetic voices in the society. I don't mean preaching hell and brimstone from every street corner. I mean standing up for what's right and being beacons of light and truth and not just thinking about protecting our own assets and protecting our own well-being and protecting our own programs. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm going to get to your calls right on the other side of the break, so I don't want to cut off anyone. But check this out. Pastor John Piper has been falsely accused. What's the accusation? The accusation is that Pastor John Piper has backed away from calling his constituents in Minnesota from standing up for marriage in the political forum. An article, and this is an article by my friend Lori Higgins writing for the Illinois Family Institute, an article in the Star Tribune entitled Key Minnesota Pastors Opt Out of Marriage Fight grossly misrepresents how Pastor John Piper is addressing the November vote on a proposed marriage to the Minnesota Constitution. Star Tribune reporter Rose French states the following: two key conservative evangelical leaders in Minnesota are not endorsing the marriage amendment or directing followers to vote for it, marking the first time during debate over the measure that major faith leaders have not encouraged members to take a stand on the issue. Influential preacher and theologian, the Reverend John Piper, came out against gay marriage during a sermon Sunday, but did not explicitly urge members of his Minneapolis church to vote for the amendment. I actually didn't bring this up on the air when I got this article last week because I thought it's Minnesota and just a local paper. Well, I've been getting people posting on Facebook, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? John Piper's backing down here. John Piper did anything but back down, and this is a gross misrepresentation. Gross misrepresentation of Pastor John Piper. Okay, back with your calls and more on the Minnesota situation with Pastor John Piper.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So are believers in your circle saying enough is enough? We can't just go around with the show. We can't have this merry-go-round Christianity, a lot of activity, all of this and that, a lot of bells and whistles, and we're just going around in circles? Are you sensing that among those you're hanging out with? Or does it seem like more of the same because it's a nice merry-go-round ride? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, let me finish the John Piper situation, and then I will get to your calls. So John Piper has been represented as now stepping back from calling on his people to stand for marriage in Minnesota as there's a proposed marriage amendment to the Minnesota Constitution coming up in the elections. Well, as Lori Higgins points out, the article by Rose French is correct in saying that Piper did not explicitly urge church members to vote for the amendment, but she is woefully disingenuous in saying that Piper did not direct, which means to move or guide followers to vote for the amendment. And she's equally wrong when she implies that Piper did not encourage his church members to take a stand on the issue. It's clear that Piper did indeed direct his church members to vote for the proposed marriage amendment. He did so by explaining how to think through this critical cultural issue biblically and logically, rather than merely telling them what to do in the voting booth. I've got some tremendous quotes from John Piper I'll read. Now, later in the week, we'll bring on David Brickner to share his interaction with Pastor Piper in Christianity Today. We've requested him to come on the air, but we understand he doesn't do interviews, which I understand. He'd probably just do them day and night if he took all the requests. So as much as I have some differences with some of his teaching on Israel, I'm absolutely with him step for step, point for point here, and commend him for standing up truthfully. And as he does, he gets misrepresented and blasted. What else is new? What else do you expect? 866-34-TRUTH. John in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, John.
Hello. How you doing,
yes.
Dr. Brown?
Good. You're on the
God
air,
bless
sir.
You. Yes. Yes.
Go ahead, please.
Yes. I think there is a spiritual awakening, but I don't think that it's enough. I think that you can hear a louder snore on behalf of the church, sleeping and being complacent and comfortable, set back for the most part with programs and this and that, but there's not a lot of a shout that there is hope in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is coming soon, and that he does love humanity enough to go out there and make a shout of compassion and of awakening.
So you feel there's a beginning, but it's far from
beginning.
All right, far from sufficient. So what we got to do wherever we see that beginning is blow on those coals so it gets hotter and hotter, more intense and more fervent, so that we are really crying out to God and really doing what we know how to do. Thank you for the call, John. 866-34-TRUTH. Maureen in Smithtown on Long Island. We live, Maureen, in St. James, the next town over, and our kids went to the Christian school there in Smithtown. But thanks for calling, Maureen.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I had the opportunity. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, I had the opportunity to hear you speak at the Holding Out Hope Church, was it 2-3 weeks ago?
Yes. Yeah, a few weeks back.
Yeah, and I just want to say, listening to the comment on Facebook, I don't know what's coming to this nation that was once a Christian nation. And my problem is I think America has turned into ancient Israel. They tolerate and tolerate and compromise and compromise, and that's actually the church. Because nowadays, people in the church, they support politicians whose agenda is to promote homosexuality and everything that's ungodly. So I think the church needs to come together in unity, forget the small differences, come together in unity and stand up as one.
So, Maureen, let me ask you this. Do you see that more and more believers are awakening to the critical day in which we live?
No, or... I'm sorry. No,
got
I'm
it.
Sorry, because I've spoken to a few people
all
in
right.
the church.
Well, Maureen, that's one reason we keep raising our voices, sounding the alarm here, and equipping believers to do that as best as we can. Thanks for the call, Maureen. And listen, two things. We do what we know how to do. We do what we know how to do personally, and then we encourage and bless others, and because we could get critical and negative and cynical and hopeless, or we could know that God is faithful, God is good, his ways are true, and we just believe that he is going to do something great and radical among his people. Maureen, thank you for the call. By the way, have you downloaded my ebook yet from Facebook? Yeah, that'd be sweet. From Amazon.com. But of course, we can promote it on Facebook. Have you downloaded it? It's real inexpensive, and it's a great read. 70 of my best articles on moral and cultural issues. Just go to Amazon when you have a minute. If you don't have a Kindle reader, that's fine. You can get the Kindle app for your computer, for your smartphone, for your tablet, and download it. It's real cheap, less than 10 cents an article, and it's called In the Line of Fire, 70 Articles from the Frontline of the Culture Wars. All right, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front line of the culture. You'll love it, and you skip from article to article, read it all the way through. You'll find it enlightening, and it will further provoke you and equip you and strengthen you. So that's In the Line of Fire, and you can get it on Amazon. 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. David in we lost David in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. Let's go to Joseph in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say I enjoy listening to your show, and I'm, you know, happy that there's people out here discussing such topics and bringing these things up. As far as your question, or Christians, you know, tired or had enough, it almost seems like, I don't know if Christians, you know, aren't tired enough or just not speaking out, but like there's no voice on opposing some of the things you're talking about, such as the Facebook offenses of, you know, Christianity and the image you described, or the gay and, you know, the gay and lesbian movement in this country. It just seems like it's almost like, you know, not just the gay and lesbian movement, but just any immoral movement is the status quo in our society today, whether it be literature or television, cable TV, you know.
Yeah, anything. you know what it is, Joseph. Of course, there are voices that speak up and speak out, but a few things have happened. One is that people have gotten tired out. They've gotten worn out. Another is that we've gotten dull. We've gotten so influenced by the stuff that we hardly even recognize its presence ourselves. You know, we've been polluted. We've been dulled.
That's true.
And then others don't want to be labeled as being extreme and so on. But hey, look, we've got to focus on sin in our own midst, sin in the church, uncleanness in our own midst. And if we start repenting there, getting our families, our personal lives in order, it'll give us a whole lot more moral authority to speak to the world. But Joseph, got to run. We got a break. Thank you, sir, for the call. Listen, friends, we've got a fabulous resource offer. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the hardcover, which sells for $25. Get that and get free my $20 MP3 series, Stand With Israel. Over 10 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player, Israel Shall Be Saved, Israel in the Last Days, A Debate with Rabbi Tovia Singer, The Rising Tide of Anti-Semitism. Get the book, get the $20 series, postage paid free. 1-800-278-9978. Call right now to order. 1-800-278-9978. And keep your eyes on the Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire today. It is a delight to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are Christians waking up? Are believers saying enough is enough? Are God's people at a point now where they realize that the world is the world, it is lost and in darkness, that much of the church is living in compromise? They see failure in the political system, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. They see the crisis of morality in our country, and they're saying, we got to wake up. We've got to wake up. We've got to go after God. We've got to start living seriously and quit just pursuing the American dream. Or is it the same complacency that you see, that we have seen often for years? Friends, I don't say it lightly. When we strive to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise, I say that with fear and trembling before the Lord, examining my own life as I speak. Let me just get back to Minnesota for a moment. Pastor John Piper, who was falsely accused of backing away from calling his people to vote for the marriage amendment in November. So this is now June, and he brings this message. Here are some quotes. Lori Higgins pulled them out for us. Today's message is designed to give a biblical vision of marriage in relation to homosexuality and in relation to the proposed marriage amendment in Minnesota. I'd say that's pretty direct. I ask that Hebrews 13, 1 through 6 be read, not because I will give an exposition of it, but to highlight that one phrase in verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all. There is no such thing as so-called same-sex marriage, and it would be wise not to call it that. That's a strong statement. Of course, he's right. The point here is not only that so-called same-sex marriage shouldn't exist, but that it doesn't and it can't. Those who believe that God has spoken to us truthfully in the Bible, Pastor Piper says, should not concede that the committed lifelong partnership in sexual relations of two men or two women is marriage. It isn't. God has created and defined marriage, and what he has joined together in that creation and that definition cannot be separated and still called marriage in God's eyes. It would contradict love, Piper says, and contradict the gospel of Jesus to approve homosexual practice, whether by silence or by endorsing so-called same-sex marriage, or by affirming the Christian ordination of practicing homosexuals. We must not be intimidated here. The world is going to say the opposite of what is true here. Come on, Pastor. They are going to say that warning people who practice homosexuality about final judgment is hateful. It is not hateful. Hate does not want people to be saved. Hate does not want people to join the family. Hate wants to destroy, and sin does destroy. If homosexual practice and greed and idolatry and reviling and drunkenness leads to exclusion from the kingdom of God, as the word of God says it does, then love warns. Love pleads. Love comes alongside and does all it does to help, does all it can to help a person live forever. Pastor Piper says deciding what actions will be made legal or illegal through civil law is a moral activity aiming at the public good and informed by the worldview of each participant. Minnesota citizens are being asked this November to vote yes or no on this question. Shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to provide that only a union of one man and one woman shall be valid or recognized as a marriage in Minnesota? And a blank vote is a no vote. If passed, Section 13 will be added to Article 13 of the state constitution, which reads only a union of a man, one man and one woman should be valid or recognized as a marriage in Minnesota. Okay. The message goes on. Many, many great quotes. I'll post this link on our Line of Fire site from Lori Higgins' article. But here he's explicitly saying if you don't vote, it's a no vote. How could he more clearly urge everyone and educate them on what's right and devote a whole message to this over 4 months in advance? And then the Minnesota Star Tribune says he's backing away from the issue. That's the kind of report you get from the world. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today, friends, on The Line of Fire. Remember, tomorrow I'll be joined by Professor Robert Gagnon. He's a New Testament scholar, and he is the foremost authority on the Bible and homosexual practice. Now, biblical scholarship is my field as well, but Professor Gagnon has focused on this in depth more than any other scholar in the world, and his insights into these issues are brilliant. We'll also be talking about counterfeit grace. So are Christians waking up? Are they realizing that they've fallen asleep in the midst of the world? As I asked, 22 years ago, has the church fallen asleep in the enemy's lap, in Satan's lap? Is that what has happened to us, or are more and more believers waking up to the state that we're in and to the need for awakening in the church and in the society? 866-34-TRUTH. Sharon in, all right, we lost Sharon in Amity Harbor. All right, we've reconnected with David in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, can you hear me?
Oh, sure I can, David.
Yeah, buddy, I wonder if you agree with me. I think that a lot of that stuff you said on Facebook with, you know, they're saying F this, F that, I think they're just trying to be part of the anti-guy. A lot of younger people, it seems to be like the trend. I don't think they believe that in their heart of hearts. I don't think they actually feel. I think a lot of them might even be agnostics, even if they're not, you know, believers or whatever. But I don't actually believe that they have that much hate that what they do, what they say. I think it's just kind of a be part of the crowd kind of thing, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Let me give you three responses, okay? First, I'm sure a lot of people have no clue what they're saying and doing and just join in with the anti-religion, anti-God trend. I don't doubt that at all. These one group put out this YouTube challenge for people to get on and blaspheme the spirit, and one person after another is coming on, and even little kids. And I watched some of them, and I thought, those are going to be future believers. They have no clue what they're doing, and they're acting in complete ignorance. So I believe that happens a lot. That's number one. Number two, I have no question that there are others who are absolutely raging. I've met them. I've talked to them. I've interacted with them. They feel that the church is a terribly destructive force, that religion in general or the faith in Jesus in particular is a terrible.
They believe that in their hearts.
Oh, and they are angry and raging and furious and full of hate and full of venom. I've run into them. I've interacted with them. And I'm sure that some of them are behind these posts. Now, that brings me to my third point. I'm always wondering what's going on spiritually behind the scenes. You know, let's say somebody's in a deep relationship with another person, and then they break up with them, and the other person suddenly from love turns to hate, and because they've been so hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I understand.
Okay, so I'm interacting with one guy. We've had to ban him from a bunch of our pages, but I happen to know his name because he's been banned from so many of our pages, and he shows up on my page on Facebook for the book A Queer Thing Happened to America. And one moment he's preaching the gospel as a gay Christian, and the next moment engaging in just ugly, vile stuff. And I look at this guy as conflicted. That's just my own take. I look at him as conflicted. Now he may tell me right to my face he's very content and he's very happy and he has a wonderful relationship with God and so on and so forth. But when I see someone blow so hot and so cold, post one thing on one place that's so gentle and loving God, and the other thing so full of venom, you think something's going on there. There's an internal battle. So, David, even for those who are actually filled with hate, even for the even for those who are overflowing with venom, it's often out of hurt, it's often out of rejection, and we as believers need to do our best to overcome evil with good. So on the one hand, I'm going to directly confront error. I see error, I'm going to directly confront error and expose it and respond to it. On the other hand, I'm going to pray and look for ways to find out what's really going on in that life and reach that person.
Christian, it's kind of hard to get a hold of the hate aspect because, you know, I was saved later on in life, a biker, and I've done a lot of things, and I've still struggle with the how do you know when you're truly forgiven question. That's something that really bothers me of how will I know when I'm really forgiven? You know, that's something that gets to me. But I went back and forth with my struggles, but I never really felt the demonism or the actual hatred in my heart or anything like that. I was more mad at myself.
Yeah, and David, again, you're looking at your situation, and many others are just like you, and then there are others who are full of hate. Hey, one last thing before we go. Meditate on Matthew 18 about forgiveness there, David, and understand that the moment you truly ask God forgiveness, which means you recognize the error of your ways and you ask him to forgive you with the desire not to continue in those ways. You're not making a vow that you'll never make a mistake again. But you recognize your error. You recognize it was wrong and it was sin against God. When you recognize that and your heart desires not to continue that, the moment that's truly asking for forgiveness. The moment you do that, God forgives you instantly. Instantly. There may be consequences to our sin. We may have blown it, and done something wrong. We've now got to make amends. But in God's sight, we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus the moment we truly ask for forgiveness. David, thanks for calling, and thank God for his mercy in your life. 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you very much. God bless you and this program. It's tremendous, and I pray to get on as many stages as possible.
Thank you, sir.
I just say, I really believe God is going to continue to let this country go, and slowly. He's been very, very merciful. And the reason is because I believe that too many people, too many Christians and churches are too pampered to what it really is to be a Christian. And as long as they're taught this, the flesh wants to take the easiest way, and the flesh doesn't like being denied and taking up their cross. So it's easier to put some money in the plate and have somebody, that's so-called called or ordained, rather than the body functioning together as a unit instead of having a few people. And God wants to have a revival, but it's going to take people that are together, like cults. Cults are together.
Yeah, and Bob, let me just jump in.
Yeah.
And I'm just having a slight problem with the connection. I hear you okay, but I'm getting a little echo or feedback with it. So let me just respond to you. You're 100% right that it's easier to pay someone else to do this. In other words, paid clergy, professional clergy. Pray for them. If they do well, praise them. If they do poorly, criticize them. It's easier to pay someone else than to go do it ourselves. And yet, there's no clergy-laity distinction in Scripture. We're all called to be priests of God. There's a distinction between leaders. Leaders have a role in the body, but we are all fellow priests, fellow believers, fellow brothers and sisters, fellow branches of the vine, fellow members of the body, fellow sons and daughters of God. The purpose of leaders, Bob, according to Ephesians 4, is to equip the church, equip the body to go and do the work. To equip the church to go and do the work. So that's one of our great problems. And you're 100% right. We've got to get out of that clergy-laity mentality. And yeah, I wrote about it in my book, Revolution in the Church, the clergy-laity mentality, as well as the cult mentality. That cults are cults and dangerous and destructive at that. And yet, often cults have something that looks more like a biblical commitment in terms of really going for it, really living the thing out, than a lot of our churchianity. And if we had real discipleship, a lot of people would accuse us of being cult-like. I don't mean by control, but I mean by radical commitment. So thank you for the observations. 866-34-TRUTH. Jack in Orange County, California. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How's it going, Dr. Brown? I just wanted to get a little bit more of your take on the presidential election, specifically your most recent article that you had mentioned earlier. I guess why Romney is not the answer was titled. I just myself cannot personally, I'm sure a lot of your callers can't bring themselves to vote for him on a religious grounds. I know it's not politically correct to say that, but I just wanted to get a little bit more of your take on it, where I might be able to find some more that you've written or kind of commented on. Just really conflicted with this whole Mormon issue thing.
Got it. Well, let me say this, Jack. I don't know that we have had truly born-again Christians whose deep commitment to the Lord influenced the way they live and the decisions they make for most of our recent presidents. With rare exception, it has not been the rule. So the fact that President Obama professes to be a Christian is meaningless to me because I don't see evidence of it. The fact that President Bush seemed to have a conversion experience and seemed to be more influenced by his Christian faith, that was meaningful, but then I didn't really see it lived out. The fact that John F. Kennedy was a Catholic, and on and on. Almost every one of our presidential candidates professes faith in Jesus. If I saw someone who was really radically walking with God and that influenced their lives, and that person made it to be the president, to use an example, like Tim Tebow in sports, someone like that, more like a Mike Huckabee in that sense, and that really influenced how they lived, that would be very meaningful to me. So the Mitt Romney Mormonism thing, I take to be no more of a big deal than John Kennedy's Catholicism. But stay right there, Jack. I want to make another comment or two.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Go to townhall.com, all right? Go to townhall.com. My article today is called Some Fascinating Responses to the Mitt Romney Article. I wrote an article last week, Mitt Romney is Not the Answer, saying that if the elections were held today, I would vote for him, because I'm convinced that Mr. Obama should not be reelected, but I would vote for him with very little confidence that he would bring about positive change, just that since I have a responsibility to vote and I feel I could vote for one versus the other, I will. But if Mr. Obama is reelected, I will pray, and will pray like crazy, that God will get hold of his heart and his life and raise him up for righteousness, and I do the same for Mr. Romney. But I wrote a follow-up where I printed a lot of the comments. They're kind of funny, pro and con comments to the article and some interesting responses. But it also links to my article, Mitt Romney's Not the Answer. So the article today is some fascinating responses to the Mitt Romney article. And remember, if you haven't yet downloaded my article, my collection of articles on Amazon.com, In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. It's real inexpensive. It's a great read. You'll find it instructive. Okay, so just to stay on the subject one more moment, back with Jack in Orange County. By the way, this weekend, I'm scheduled to be in Fontana, California. Is that far from you?
It's a bit of a drive, but Orange County is pretty small, and I commute a lot.
Right. Hey, look, I'm traveling further to get there than you would be, right? Yeah, I'm scheduled to speak at Water of Life Community Church. They want me to share my testimony there. So it's a Saturday service and then three Sunday morning services, and you can find out about that on my website, AskDrBrown.org. But Jack, in short, I have not seen the faith or lack of faith of particular candidates having a major, major influence. And I just don't think that Mr. Romney as a Mormon would be prominent and therefore would be used to promote Mormonism. Now, obviously, it's a shot in the arm to do that, but I don't know that John F. Kennedy's presidency promoted Catholicism. Maybe people will tell me otherwise. But go ahead.
I just one last point. Let's talk about it. But my whole thing is that you were giving examples of Bush and Obama and McCain and others whose faith may not have influenced them, but for me, personally, there's one thing of being an imperfect professing Christian and somebody who bases their worldview on the blasphemy of Joseph Smith. I mean, if your beginning morality begins in the deception and blasphemy of...
Yeah, I fully understand that. My point is that I have not really seen people being influenced. That's my point. In other words, whether they're... Look, if he was a practicing Satanist who said all glory to Satan and I'm devoting the White House to Satan, it'd be one thing. But I didn't see any evidence of his Mormonism, pro or con, influencing the way he governed Massachusetts. And that's, I've got far more grave concerns over the way he governed Massachusetts on some of the key moral issues to me than about his Mormonism. Now, that being said, Jack, I've got no problem, no issue whatsoever. No issue whatsoever with someone saying I can't vote for him because he's Mormon. That's between you and God. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. And there are many that believe that President Obama, as much as he professes Christianity, is really a Muslim, or is far more versed in Islam than Christianity. I mean, that's a whole other subject. We're no time to get into that today. Don't want to provoke another discussion there. Listen, I pray for our president, even though he's only got a few months left in this term. I pray for him. I don't hate the man. All right. I am not anti-Democrat, and God forbid I'm not anti-black. I am against the stands that he has taken on a number of key issues. And we warned before he was elected he would take these stands. So there's no surprise there. But the answer is not in the White House. Unless King Josiah was raised up full of the Spirit and had 20 years to lead us here in America, and even then, hey, it didn't solve Israel's problems or Judah's problems because they only repented part way. But our answer is not in the White House. And we put too much emphasis on who's president. We put too much emphasis on which party's in control. I know and understand. There is massive influence that the president has and that the Congress has and the Supreme Court has on our country. I understand it. Massive. No question. However, we put far more emphasis on who's in the White House than we do on often what's happening in our own church communities. We get so frenzied and worked up, don't we? Come on, you listen to liberal radio or conservative radio. You watch the liberal TV shows, the conservative TV shows, wherever they fall on that. You watch the mainstream media. I don't watch much. I get almost all my news just looking at articles online. That's why I sometimes mispronounce names because I've never heard them pronounced. I've just got them in writing. I've done the same with the names of biblical scholars. I've never heard the name pronounced. I just saw it in writing. But friends, we get so frenzied. It's going to get crazy. Do you know how crazy the atmosphere in America is going to get? How divided it's going to get? How much bigotry is going to fly every way, from every direction? Every direction. You know, it's going to go crazy in the next few months. What we need to do is say, yeah, I've got strong values here and strong concerns and so on. However, in each and every case, my first focus is on walking with Jesus and living right and getting my own life clean and then touching those around me for the gospel. My first focus is to be salt and light. Again, let me encourage you, download my series of articles. By the way, our phone lines are jammed. Seth, can you call back tomorrow? Because your question is totally relevant to the discussion tomorrow. If you can call back, I'll make sure I put you at the top of the list. All right, Seth? So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Everybody else, hang on. I'll be taking calls in the next hour. First, speaking with Pastor Terry Sartain, who's a chaplain here in Charlotte, who's been told when he functions as a chaplain, he cannot pray. He cannot pray in Jesus' name. Download my articles in the line of fire. All right? 70 articles from the front line of the culture wars, Amazon.com. And take advantage of today's special offer. And stand with us. If you believe in what we're doing, If you believe in the importance of our voice being heard, stand with us. And here's a great way. We've got an amazing special offer this week. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, which just about every day we get wonderful reports from readers who are blown away by the contents. I'm blown away that God gave me grace in 3 weeks to write that book and get it published in less than 2.5 months. Eye-opening for you as a believer. Great tool for non-believers. You can only get the hardcover through us. So you get the hardcover, which is $25, and then we'll send you free. And we'll pay the postage. My entire CD series, it's for your computer or MP3 player, Stand With Israel, with some of my most important Israel teaching and even debates with rabbis. Get the book, get the entire teaching series free, $25, postage paid, 1-800-278-9978. Become a monthly supporter when you order today as well. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is time for holy outrage, not anger at the world, but an awakening in our own hearts and lives. It's time for us to say enough is enough, living with this merry-go-round Christianity. Let's go after God, and let's touch this world. Yes, it's true. chaplains in Charlotte, North Carolina, have been told they cannot pray in the name of Jesus in public meetings.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the things that I'm called to do here on the Line of Fire broadcast is to get your holy blood boiling. Oh, not so you get worked up and anxious, not so you take out anger on other people, God forbid, but so you get stirred in God. So you say, all right, come on, enough is enough. What are we doing? Can't play games. Can't just jump here and there, and all kinds of Christian activity to get so caught up with the world that we forget why we're here as followers of Jesus. Time for awakening in the church that'll spill over and touch the world. Time for revolution in the church that'll bring a godly revolution in society. Not the way the world does it, with anger and hatred and guns and knives and bombs, but with the gospel. So what's happening in your circles? I asked this question last hour. I want to put it out for discussion in the second hour. In the circles in which you live, the circles in which you travel as a believer, your circle of believing friends, is there a growing sense of holy frustration that we cannot keep going on with more of the same, the recognition that more of the same will only produce more of the same? Come on, how many times have you looked in the mirror and says, okay, I got to lose weight? And the revelation is, well, living the same way is going to bring the same results. Change must come. What are you running into in your world? What's your own sense in terms of other believers? Is there just the same complacency? Well, whatever. Well, we had a great service on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Boy, our house group, we are cutting edge. And everyone's just excited about a nice service or a nice house meeting. Or is there a stirring? Is there a fresh hunger, thirst, and people saying, enough is enough. We've got to do something. We've got to stand up. We've got to turn to God, heart and soul and mind and strength. It's an urgent hour. It's an urgent hour right here in Charlotte, right outside of where I live, right next to where we broadcast from. There is now a ruling that chaplains in our city, when they're performing a public event as chaplains, not privately ministering as pastors, when they pray, they cannot pray in Jesus' name. Because you have all kinds of people out there. What do you think of that? 866-34-TRUTH. Lynn in Neptune, New Jersey. I see something on your mind that's similar to what we're experiencing in Charlotte. What do you think is happening with Homeland Security on a national level?
Well, I heard a clip on one of the conservative talk programs, and it was Janet Napolitano, who is head of Homeland Security. She said, actually, that we are making war on Christians. It was at some dinner, you know, and they played this clip on the radio, and I heard from her own mouth her saying that.
All right, so tell you what,
absolutely
Matt.
Absolutely appalling.
Got it. Matt, I want you to check for that, see if you can find out what clip that is exactly that we're talking about. You know, Lynn, the fact of the matter is, whether that is taken out of context or not, and we'll check. I'm not familiar with that specifically.
Yeah.
There's no question that believers have been painted in a negative light, that often when there's got to be sympathy or leaning in one direction or another, it'll go, say, the way of Islam versus the way of the gospel, that conservative Christians will be painted as if they were fundamentalist terrorists. There was even a raid conducted, a mock raid at a high school in New Jersey, I believe, where they had a Christian terrorist group, and the students had to learn how to hide and take refuge. Come on, if you're going to do something, we've been attacked enough by jihadists. No. Got to be radical Christians. All right, Lynn, thank you for the call. We'll look for that soundbite. Back with a whole lot more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to throw out another question for all of you listening, especially all of you listening all over North Carolina right now. We are not officially a Christian nation. We are a vast majority of professing Christians, but we are not an official Christian nation where everyone has to sign off to this religion, or say like a Muslim country under Sharia law, and if you convert from Islam, the penalty is death. So people say, hey, when you have government functions, when someone functions as a government chaplain, when someone is paid by the city and therefore it's government money, and they are performing a religious function, they have to be diverse, they have to be open-minded, they have to be inclusive. So if they pray, they cannot pray in Jesus' name. Get a Christian pastor who's functioning as a chaplain, the chaplain cannot pray in Jesus' name. Now, of course, what about the atheist who'll be offended that if you pray to any God at all? I mean, of course, that's where it leads. But what do you think of this new ruling in Charlotte, North Carolina, where chaplains, when they pray in official functions, not personally, privately in their churches, wherever they may minister, but as paid chaplains, they cannot pray in the name of Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm joined now by Charlotte pastor Terry Sartain, who also functions as a chaplain and who was given this very restriction. Thank you, Pastor, for taking time to join us on the air today.
You're welcome, Dr. Brown. Thank you for having me.
Sure thing. All right. Well, tell us exactly what happened. How did you get this announcement? Who did it come from? And what do you think about it?
Well, about a month ago, I have been serving as a chaplain for the CMPD for about 7 years. And just prior to an invocation for promotion ceremony, which I love praying at the police graduations, invocations for ceremonies, promotions, et cetera, memorials, I was given a call and in a very nice way, I might add. They knew my faith. They like what I do as a chaplain. They like the effect I've had on the men and women of the CMPD. They know me. They know my heart. And I was just quite frankly asked that there'd been a change in policy. And in that change in policy is at the following promotion ceremony, which I was scheduled to pray at, would I please not invoke the name of Jesus, because the department was trying to be more inclusive. And I was a little shocked. I had never been asked that before. It had never been an issue before. I've been praying at these things for 7 years without any consequence, without any reaction whatsoever, and have even been thanked and blessed as a result after some of these events. So I said I needed 24 hours to think about this. And the more I thought about this, the more I thought, well, it looks like my chaplaincy is in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
That things that I believe that God had given me in giving the Lord to these wonderful men and women that serve my city is coming to an end. So I called the following day and I said, if I withdraw from public ceremony, will my chaplaincy be in jeopardy? And I was assured by the department and by my immediate commander that it was not the case, that they really appreciated what I did. They saw how I'd performed over the years, and that no way would my withdrawing from public ceremony put me in jeopardy as a chaplain. I could still have influence on ride-alongs and being with the men and women that serve our great city. So it was strictly from, it wasn't all public ceremony, but it was from the standpoint of anything to do, and this is what I was told, anything on government property.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a government function, and this function was going to take place at the Law Enforcement Center, or what we call headquarters downtown Charlotte, then I was not allowed to invoke the name of Jesus.
Now, Pastor, what has been the response of other chaplains who've been given this same information? And for folks that don't realize this, for someone to serve as a chaplain, they're really serving. They're not doing this to get rich. They're not doing this to promote some personal ministry. They're doing this out of a heart of love for the people in the city where they serve or the state where they serve. So I appreciate you doing this and the ride-alongs and all that. You're not doing this for some reality TV show. You're doing it out of love for these policemen that are putting their lives on the line for law enforcement. What's been the reaction of other chaplains to this ruling?
Well, the reaction to other chaplains has been primarily, I'm so glad that they talked to you first and not me. And they've been somewhat under the radar since I've been the focus of attention. Now, I was when it was first mentioned on the news media, I actually said, and I had no idea it would spread to this degree. I mean, this has become national and in some cases international. I've gotten emails from other parts of the world. I mean, I'm just kind of blown away at the attention that this has gotten. Mm-hmm. And in response to some of the other chaplains, it's been the police officers themselves. I was called to a death scene on Thursday morning, and half a dozen officers, both from crime scene detectives and patrol officers, came around me at the end of our duties there and asked me to pray, actually asked me to pray. And one particular officer said, and please pray in Jesus' name.
Uh-huh.
And I, at first, when I was interviewed by the variety of radio and TV stations, I said this quote: I'm sad that this has come down to limiting and telling Christian chaplains that they cannot on government property pray, because I believe that Jesus is the only person that we have to bless with. And really, when we talk about his name, we're talking about a gift we've been given in his nature as a result mm-hmm. of his great work on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've been given is new life in Christ. So if we don't promote that new life toward others by explaining the name of Jesus and invoking blessings upon people, we don't have anything else to give.
Exactly. It's like telling someone, I'm all for your food distribution program to the hungry, just don't give them any food. I'm all for your medical help. Just take the drugs out before you go give the people their prescription. I mean, the fact is, we're not just going through a formality. We're not just saying words. And you're there as a religious functionary, after all. I mean, if you call in some specialist, you know, there's a gas leak problem in a building, and you call in someone from the county who's a specialist in this, you're calling them in not because they're a football player or a celebrity, because they know how to deal with gas leaks. So all you're right. Being called in to serve as a religious functionary, and you're a religious functionary not because you're a Muslim or a Wiccan or a Unitarian, but because you're a committed follower of Jesus, and that's what you have to offer. By the way, on a lighter note, one time after a debate in New York City, I was with my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, and he was about to do an interview on the Oprah Winfrey Show the next day, and how that interview went could determine also how his TV show that he had back then, Shalom in the Home, would go for the next year. And he said to us, there are a few Christians there at the table, hey, pray for me. We are Messianic Jewish believers, Christians. Pray that the interview will go well. So I took his hand. I said, let's do it right now. So I prayed that God would bless him and give him clarity as he spoke about the family and spoke about these moral issues. And then I prayed in Yeshua's name. And he looked at me and he said, why did you have to pray in Yeshua's name, with a smile? I said, well, you want it to work, don't you?
as I was going to say earlier, yeah. When I mentioned that I was sad, that has changed. Excuse me. What has taken place is, with once Fox News picked it up and the Charlotte Observer and some other media, all of a sudden, I mean, this shows you just, you know, I think you said something earlier about holy outrage. I think Jesus is getting tired of taking a back seat. Also, even if in my theology, if he could get tired, in other words, mm-hmm. that's a human thing to say.
Yeah, figure of speech,
yeah. But it was in Acts 4:17, there was this instance where all the apostles got arrested, and the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders said, you know, please don't mention this name anymore. I'm ad-libbing here, but they, and so one of their reasonings was, so that this spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on, they speak to no man in this name. And let me be fair, I wasn't severely threatened. I was just asked and graciously asked, was told to withdraw from ceremony if I had to do this, and they respected me for withdrawing, and no way did it put my chaplaincy in jeopardy. But what has taken place has happened, though, as a result, is Jesus' name, and if you Google Chaplain Terry Sartain, I mean, my goodness, it has been And it's not my name that has been put out there. It's all of a sudden Jesus is being recognized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all over the place. And that's what I'm thrilled about.
Yeah. Amen.
The more the world limits us and the person of Christ, the more he's promoted.
Absolutely. And let me encourage you to freely and boldly use the name of Jesus, and for other chaplains to do the same. And that there are folks, other Christian organizations, Alliance Defense Fund and Liberty and others, I'm sure, have been in touch that would love to say, hey, you stand, brother, and we'll stand with you, because it's been the ACLU that has come against or agreed with this decision. Pastor Terry Sartain, thank you, sir, for joining us. Continue to stand strong for the name of Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what are you sensing out there? People saying enough is enough? Time to wake up? Time to go for it? Are they recognizing the deteriorated state of our society and the backslidden state and compromised state of so much of the church? Or is it business as usual? Hey, we had a great service last week. Hey, I've read this book, man. It's really cool. Wow, the Lord really blessed me. Hey, I'm blessed if you're blessed. And I'm blessed if you've had a great service. I'm thrilled. But it's got to go deeper than that. Got to go beyond that. So in the circles in which you travel, your own circle of friends, ministry associates, are people signing up for Jesus' revolution, meaning radical change starting in me until it touches the world? Or is it more the same complacency? Have we been dulled by the spirit of the world? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. This, I'm going to go to the phones in a moment, but this whole issue of we're going to be inclusive, so you can't pray, chaplain, government property, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. Well, hang on for a second. And everyone's going to respond differently. And many of these chaplains are gentle souls who are really thinking, okay, I need to use wisdom because they're people I help and they're people I minister to and they're people I care about. I don't want to jeopardize my ability to serve them and help them and touch them. Not everyone is called to be a confrontationalist in that sense. If I was in that position, what I would do is I would politely decline what I was told. With all respect, I have to honor God. If I'm going to pray, I have to pray according to my convictions. And I would begin the prayer in Jesus' name, and in the middle of the prayer, and in the end of the prayer, and everywhere else where I could fit it, I would fit it in to make a point. Now, that's me. Others are called to act differently. I'm sorry. But The head coach of the New York Jets, Buddy Ryan, something had come up where there was some internet stuff about him being into feet, a foot fetish, all right? And anyway, Wes Welker, Buddy Ryan was his father, I guess. Rex Ryan, thanks for the correction, Joey. I'm sorry, I've gone too far, so I've got to finish this. Wes Welker, who's a receiver for the New England Patriots, did an interview, and the Patriots are told, just don't get into the controversy, you're going to be playing the Jets, and don't get into the controversy about this. But Wes Welker used every opportunity in his interview to mention the word foot. I didn't hear the interview. I just saw a write-up about it. He was obviously poking fun at this whole thing with Rex Ryan. Anyway, in a serious level, I would have done that with the prayer to basically make a point. But all right, we're going to be inclusive. All right, how about this? In the name of God or gods or spirits or no God or whoever is or is not out there, we invoke or do not invoke, depending on whether you're there. What are you going to do? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So you're going to start in an Arabic prayer, maybe? You're going to be inclusive, right? Do the basmala, the Arabic, in the name of Allah, merciful and gracious. And hey, well, hang on, we have Native Americans, maybe pray to the Great Spirit or spirits, Hindus, Krishna, and 30-something million other gods, whatever the latest number is. Of course, our Jewish friends, they don't want a Muslim prayer or a prayer to Krishna or a prayer in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. Elohei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And come on, what about the Satanists? Got to be inclusive. What kind of nonsense is this? 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Jeff in Salt Lake City, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, I don't know. In Salt Lake, there you see a lot of bumper stickers, and it's they use a bunch of religious symbols to spell out the word coexist. I don't know if you've seen those.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, they're all over the place.
Well, yesterday I saw one that was, I was just kind of really taken aback by. I'm annoyed by the coexist ones just because, for different reasons. But yesterday I saw one. It was it said exist, and before that there's an N, and then there's a circle with a Star of David and a cross in it, and then a slash across it.
Mm.
This is an escalating thing, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, we're going to see a rising hostility towards the gospel, and when Christians are presented primarily as gay-bashing fundamentalist haters and responsible for the suicide of gay young people, there's going to be hostility towards Christianity. There's going to be ongoing hostility towards Israel as the world accepts more and more of the Palestinian narrative and rejects historical and current facts. And probably what's going to happen, Jews will get blamed for many of the problems in society, if economy collapses, Jews will get blamed. So I expect more of this. But Jeff, let me just say this. I reached out to a gay editor of a gay newspaper. He's probably three editors back with local gay newspaper. I reached out to him a few years back, and he immediately wanted to meet with me. And when he pulled up in his car, I saw the bumper sticker said coexist on the back of it with those different religious symbols. And I'm absolutely a fan of, a supporter of, loving my neighbor as myself. What a high calling. Seeking to be a gracious fellow citizen to my fellow citizens, treating every human being with respect and dignity as someone created in God's image, although we are all fallen without the grace and mercy and kindness of God. But I said to him, I don't know how we can both come out of the closet the same way. In other words, if he is to have the complete, quote, equality and freedoms that he desires, and you say you're going to redefine marriage and what kids are taught in school, and then brand certain things hate speech, then how can we have our religious liberties? And that's where the great challenge comes. But Jeff, thank you for the call. Friends, if you've not yet downloaded my articles, my ebook with 70 of my best articles on the front lines of the moral and culture wars, please get it in the Line of Fire. 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. Go to Amazon.com to do that. It's really cheap, and you'll find it to be very enlightening reading. And we have a wonderful special offer this week. All the time we get great reports from readers of The Real Kosher Jesus. I'm so blessed to hear these reports. Christian readers, and now they're getting the book into the hands of more and more Jewish friends. We alone, our ministry alone, has the hardcover, which is $25. But if you order today, you'll get a $20 teaching series with it absolutely free, and we'll pay the postage. So over $45 of material, including postage paid for just $25, the hardcover Real Kosher Jesus, and my series on Stand with Israel, which includes messages on Israel Shall Be Saved, A Baptism of Tears for Israel, which is one of the most important messages I preached in my life, a debate with a famous counter-missionary, over 10 hours of teaching to listen to on your computer or MP3 player. Call today to order 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or just go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the online bookstore. Back with some chilling sound bites.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, when you are in the center of God's will for your life, you're blessed. You're blessed. You may be attacked. You may be maligned. You may go through difficult times. You may be challenged. You may have difficult days, but you're blessed and you enjoy the blessing of God. The blessing of God is on the will of God. When you get in the will of God, you're blessed. It's true. I'm a living witness to it. I'm 57, married for 36 years, 2 kids, 4 grandkids. Been preaching since I was 18, going on 40-year anniversary of preaching. Serving the Lord overseas, more than 100 different trips. A lot of busy things, enjoyable, wonderful things for the gospel. Lots of challenges, many years of great financial pressure and ministry work. But I'm telling you, when you're in the will of God, you're blessed, blessed. And the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, meaning his will itself is blessed. The attack, the pain, the difficulty, that's going to come, but his will is blessed. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the line of fire. Part of my blessed assignment is to stir your own hearts and to get you motivated to go after God and be an agent of change in the world today. And this world desperately needs an awakening. Oh, God's moving in many parts of the world wonderfully, including in the Muslim world. And there are pockets in America where God is moving greatly. But we need an awakening in the church that'll bring a holy moral Jesus revolution to society, not fought with anger and intimidation and guns and knives and bombs, but with the power of the Spirit and the love of God. Oh, look, we have been warning in the Middle East for years about the rising tide of Islamic fundamentalism. It's obvious. You need to be a prophet to see that. But we've been warning for months now about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. We've been warning last year that the Arab Spring was turning to an Islamic jihadist fall. And Muslim Brotherhood, of course, has now captured the leadership in Egypt. Actually, a closer election than I expected. And there were many complaints from Coptic Christians about inability to get to the voting booths. As much as the State Department has tried to say, hey, the Muslim Brotherhood, they're good guys, they're not terrorists, and the White House has called to commend them, I want to play 2 sound bites. These are wrongly attributed to the newly elected Egyptian President Morsi as coming from him. These are not the words of Mohamed Morsi. These are the words of a cleric, of a Muslim cleric from his party, introducing him some time back to the cheers of a large crowd and on Egyptian television. The first quote, you'll hear his name mentioned, and this is saying that there will be an Islamic caliphate of the United States of the Arab world. And then the second quote saying its capital will be in Jerusalem. Go ahead.
رأينا حلم الخلافة الإسلامية حلم أرض الخلافة يتحقق بإذن الله على يد الدكتور محمد مرسي ومن معه من إخوانه وجماعته وحزبه.
All right, so first you heard the name Mohamed Morsi. You heard him mentioned, and he is the one that is going to restore this United States of the Arab world, this Islamic caliphate, where they will just rule over the Middle East and this massive empire beyond that. And where will the capital be? Jerusalem. Okay, second clip.
ستكون عاصمة الولايات المتحدة العربية هي القدس إن شاء الله.
All right, you didn't hear Jerusalem, did you? Did you hear Al-Quds? Inshallah. Al-Quds is the Islamic way of saying Jerusalem. It means the holy city. The holy city. It's like Kodesh in Hebrew, Quds in Arabic. The holy city, God willing, Allah willing. Friends, every day things are heating up. Are we living accordingly, or are we just enjoying the American dream? Back with your calls and some more amazing news.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
866-34-TRUTH. The circles in which you travel, the believing circles in which you travel, the friends with whom you hang out, your fellow ministers of the gospel, is there a rising tide of what you could call enough is enough? A rising tide of we cannot just keep going on with the same thing. We've got to just go after God, and more of the same is only going to produce more of the same, more of the same spiritual malaise, moral malaise. There must be an awakening. We've got to do something different to see those results, or to see kind of the same complacency, or maybe even boasting about how wonderful things are. What about in your circles? 866-34-TRUTH. The beginning of the first hour, I mentioned the extraordinary hypocrisy of what takes place on Facebook, that my page for the book A Queer Thing Happened to America got pulled twice, finally reinstated with apologies from Facebook, but it got pulled because gay activists with their own page said, hey, this offends us. A page about my book, okay? Whereas every kind of blasphemous, ungodly, despicable, ugly, profane page, I mean, stuff way, way, way too profane for me to even come near mentioning on the air. And when I've been directed to some of these Facebook pages, gross, horrific, what they represent, the imagery, and yeah. No, it can't be pornographic. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just foul, anti-God stuff. And people report it, and they're told, well, nothing offensive. Nothing offensive. On the page for Queer Thing Happened to America on Friday, a young man named Zach posted this. There's a reason nobody would touch your book. It's appalling. One day you're going to have to wake up and realize that people are people, and allowing two consenting adults to love each other is nothing like incest, pedophilia, or having sex with animals. So I wrote back to him. Zach, first, plenty of people have read the book and appreciate it. Second, publishers told me they felt the book was important but wouldn't dare publish because gay activists would come after them. Third, where does my book make the comparison of which you speak? It's very dangerous, Zach, to speak in ignorance. When was that? Friday? You ever hear back from him? Nope. Am I surprised? Nope. Why? Because people will throw this junk out at you and will make these unfounded statements. And then when you challenge them, just say, hey, just give me some evidence. Do they have any? Nope. Hey, I'm all for dialogue. I'm all for interaction. I'm all for getting the truth out. I posted my talk at University of South Florida, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? If you haven't watched it yet, it's available online on YouTube. We'll have the video available for the DVD available soon for sale, but right now you can watch for free on YouTube. So we post this, Is Israel an Evil Occupier? A guy posts back and says to me that I would be an excellent spokesman for Mossad, which of course is secret service for Israel, that I'd be a great spokesman for them, and that I'm basing everything on error. And I said, give me one fact that's incorrect, just one. Get a response? Nope. Any surprise? Nope. Does it trouble me? Nope. But I'm going to expose it. You're going to come after me with accusations like that? I'm going to expose it. Another fellow, a brother in the Lord, posts something on my Facebook page late last night from Galatians 1, you know, it's where Paul speaks a curse on anyone who preaches another gospel. I said, are you saying I'm preaching another gospel? Well, I haven't listened to enough of your messages to say, but if anyone, well, then don't post that stuff, man. Don't post that with a warning. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. Jesse in Lumberton, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Brother Brown, how are you doing?
I'm blessed, thanks. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, in spite of you were right of what's happening as far as Christianity being attacked, yes, absolutely. What's new, I'm asking myself. The only thing that I believe that us Christians should continue to love these people, continue to pray, and continue to grow in Christ. You know,
yeah.
That is my
what
view,
else?
You know?
What else are we going to do?
Exactly. I mean, for those Christians, a lot of them will get in their flesh naturally. We get that kind of anxiety, and we want to attack physically or verbally. You know, I am saying that we should continue to pray instead of going into a fight. it is, like you said a while ago, it is a spiritual fight, you know. And that's what we need to do. Here in Lumberton, I've been trying to start a mission, a Spanish mission. And we're going through a lot of trouble here. I've approached pastors that, totally, I don't understand. For example, I'll give an example here. I had a pastor once, when I was talking to him, he said, well, he says, I don't know that we should lend you the church or part of the church that I was asking for to start the mission. He says, I am not sure that God is ready to save the Spanish-speaking people.
Yeah, and, you know, Jesse, it's one thing, you know, church buildings, everybody and their uncle wants to use them for a million different things. And if they open the doors to everybody, there'd be no room to do anything, or the place would get, you know, torn apart, and they wouldn't be able to use it properly. So I understand being wise, but that's quite a response. I mean, hey, even if it's not time for the world's greatest harvest ever, at least go for it. Make a difference. But, you know, Jesse, sometimes late at night, I'm pent up because I do a lot of my praying, studying, writing late at night. The other night, I was like 2:30 in the morning when I started writing my next article, which I finished at like 4:30. And so many times I'm pent up and I want to change the world and I want to touch the world and I want to make a difference. And thankfully, I have an outlet through writing and through radio to get my voice heard. But I'm often reminded the number one thing I can do is fall to my knees and pray. The number one thing I can do, which is more powerful than anything I can write, more powerful than anything I can say through radio, is get on my knees and pray to Almighty God, because Almighty God can do anything.
That is correct.
And do everything. And if we would, see, look, I try to get people in a holy way provoked to a point where they can't live the way they're living anymore. But that's not to pull your hair out. That's to drive us to our knees and then to get up and go out and make a difference. And if we just determine, I'm going to be a soul winner. You know, if we each had the grace to lead one person to the Lord and disciple that person, one in a year, that we could believe that we know somebody in our world that we could lead to the Lord and help get that person grounded in God. If we all did that in America, within a few years, the whole nation would be completely transformed. So there are things that we can do. And Jesse, keep your heart pure towards that pastor and others, and do what you know how to do.
That a lot of people are not ministering and are not doing any Bible teaching. That is, the Word of God is not being presented in its truthness. It is more so just being a wash, kind of like, I mean, churches, as we know, that are now being used more like clubs or more like a nonchalant kind of like deal. You know, you go there, I believe that that the salvation is very true. It is reality. We don't understand how salvation really works. We need to
talk. And Jesse, just to jump in, we're talking about radical change, and often we can reduce Christianity or church life to a glorified social club. And yes, we should have family, yes, we should have community, but we're talking about radical transformation. And friends, that's the hope of the Middle East as well, the gospel. The gospel, things are heating up. I don't know how quickly, but things are heating up. What is the hope of the Middle East? What is the hope of America? The gospel. People turning to God through Jesus. That's our only hope. 866-34-TRUTH. John, and all right, we lost John in Patchogue, Long Island. He was actually holding over from last hour. Oh, okay. Let me switch gears quickly. I wrote an article that came out Friday for townhall.com, Mitt Romney is not the answer, in which I said if I had a vote today, I would vote for Mitt Romney. I've thought about it. I would vote for him if the elections were held today. But it would be way down my list of important things to do in terms of the future of the nation. I would love to be proven wrong if he's elected, just like I would have been loved to have been proven wrong with Mr. Obama during his time of service. And if he's reelected, I'd love to be proven wrong about his second 4 years, all the more so. But I wrote this article basically saying that if Mitt Romney, in fact, is the Republican candidate, which everything says will happen, it just reminds me all the more of how little hope I can put in the White House, and how wrong we are to get so worked up over political issues while we are so complacent often about gospel issues. So I wrote the article, Mitt Romney is not the answer. That was Friday. And I decided to do something I haven't done on Town Hall, either ever or for a while, which is to print some of the comments, because I got a lot of emails on this one. I didn't get an inordinate amount of comments, decent amount of comments, but I got an inordinate amount of emails. You can just click and send an email to the columnist at Town Hall. So I want to share some of that. Share some of that with you. And by the way, we have the answer. We do. Mitt Romney's not the answer, but someone has told us who the answer is for America. Oh, and they're not saying Jesus either. You got to hear this.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, just to give you an idea of some of what I shared almost 2 hours ago on the air. Facebook pages like this are considered not offensive. People have complained, and Facebook moderators say, we don't find anything that violates our guidelines here. And this is all spelled out on the page. F your effing God, you ignorant, blinded, dumb F. This is a Facebook page. Not offensive. A friend sent me one, pro-lifers are hypocrites. When I clicked on it, it's like, oh, yuck. Image of hand-drawn, what's supposed to be Jesus, our Savior. And, of course, he's been blasphemed in every ugly way. And this figure is open-mouthed, kissing another figure who's Satan. This was reported. That's still there. Not offensive. But the fact that I take issue with gay activism on a Facebook page, gets reported and the page removed twice, it's only, I believe, because of having an inside connection with someone within Facebook and being a national religious broadcaster with a voice, that the page got restored as it did. Anyway, just reminds us of the fact that we're dealing with light and darkness and that we're in a spiritual battle and that the world is going to hate Jesus and hate us as we identify with him. So here's some fascinating responses I got to my Mitt Romney article. Mitt Romney is not the answer. Go to townhall.com and you'll see my article today. Some fascinating responses to the Mitt Romney article. My recent article, Mitt Romney is not the answer, generated an unusually high number of personal emails along with some fascinating comments. The praise was effusive. Now, let me just say, this is a great example to say, if you're going to live by praise, you're going to die by criticism. You got to take everything tongue-in-cheek, and where something's accurate and helpful, for good or for worse, great. But here's some of the praise. Michael Brown, this is the best column I've read on Town Hall in years. It's very seldom that I agree with a column as completely as I agree with this one. Wow, I could have written this article myself if I were so eloquent. Thank you. My sentiments and Christian beliefs, exactly. Mega kudos for an article that tells it like it is. The criticism was equally effusive. You hooked me with the title and lost me with the article. What a bunch of baloney. What a strange article. Mr. Brown seems very confused. I think Mr. Brown should maybe think of another profession. He's completely lost it on this one, and maybe take more time to investigate what he plans to write. Brown sounds like he fell off his rocker and has lost his mind. Right on. Who the heck is he anyway? Never heard of him before. He's obviously quite full of himself. Quite the judgmental jerk, if you ask me. These are some of the negative responses. I received a lot more positive ones, but I figured the negative were better to print at length. Then someone called Psycho Dad said this. Well, this column was a waste of pixels. For one, claiming to be a Christian, you certainly seem involved with yourself. I'm so sorry that Jesus isn't running for president, but thank you for deigning to vote for the best that we poor lost Republicans can come up with. So, friends, it seems that I stirred things up with my lack of faith in the Republican establishment. Here's another note I received. Why don't you stop undermining the Republican Party and the man who's been chosen to take back America? I'm truly fed up with this type of blatant and continuous caterwauling. Let us move forward or live under a Marxist regime. Here's another, it should also be perfectly clear that carping about Romney helps Obama. Saying that they're the same is either ignorant or dishonest and plays into the hands of liberal trolls. Of course, read my article, I didn't say any of that. There were the expected allegations that I was not excited about Romney because he's a Mormon. And I won't read all those quotes, but Oh, let me read this. Romney is a very good and decent man, and the Brown-type naysayer is really just bigots because he's a Mormon and, yes, a Christian. Romney is a Christian in the truest sense of the word, but this guy infers that he's anything but. People's ignorance makes me sick. Actually, I didn't mention that at all. I don't mention that at all in the article. For the record, I've said numerous times my issue is with Governor Romney's record. I hope I'm wrong, rather than his being a Mormon. Others said I was, you know, disgruntled supporter of Ron Paul or Rick Santorum. How about this? Let me skip that. Romney is a puppet of Benjamin Netanyahu, a man widely regarded as a loony hawk in his own nation. And then someone wrote back to this fellow, Romney, a puppet of Netanyahu, man, woman, or something between. You got to quit sucking down the hooch. That's the dumbest thing I've read for a long time. And then someone wrote in, we the people took control of this nation in 1776. It's time for we the people to retake control of our nation in 2012. Obama, no, no, no. Romney, no, no, no. Don Cordell. Yes, yes, yes. That's it. Don Cordell for president. That's the answer to all of our problems. All right. No time for calls. I'm sorry. First half hour, I interviewed Pastor Terry Sartain, who's a chaplain here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who was told that he can no longer pray on government property in the name of Jesus. Because they have to be inclusive. Oh, gosh. What a... Certainly going to offend the atheists? We pray. Well, we actually don't pray because there's no one to pray to. To Almighty God or gods or mighty gods or impotent gods or the Great Spirit or he or she or whoever or whatever or Krishna or Allah or whoever or to no God. We pray, don't pray, and come on. Include a chaplain is serving there as a religious functionary and a Christian chaplain serving the community. You say, what if he was Muslim? If he was Muslim, he wouldn't be serving the community because these people are overwhelmingly Christian in their faith. And as the chaplain said, police were saying to him when he got called to show up somewhere and pray, they asked him, one came up to him and said, please pray in Jesus' name. Friends, I don't know how many are sounding the alarm. Some, but I'm another one of them. We need to wake up. We need to quit playing the games of political correctness. We need to quit playing the games of everybody's going to like me. Yes, be full of love. Yes, be full of compassion. Yes, be full of grace. Yes, be full of humility and put others first. And do your best to fulfill the great commandments to love God with heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbors yourself. But don't think the world's going to love us when it hated Jesus. Oh, some of us get blasted because we're ignorant fools. Let us repent and grow in grace and come to know the Lord. But we're going to be blasted for the gospel. Get over it. And let's go for it, friends. All right. I'm out of time. But hang on before you go anywhere. An amazing offer this week. A really neat offer. My book, The Real Kosher Jesus, the hardcover, which you can only get through our ministry, is $25 plus postage. Today, you get it postage paid and for free with it, a $20 teaching series over 10 hours called Stand with Israel. Some of my most important teaching on Israel, a debate with a famous counter-missionary, lectures on Israel in the last days, powerful messages. It's to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. You get them all for $25, and we're paying the postage. But call today to take advantage of this, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or just click on our online bookstore. You'll see it in the special offer. And remember to go to Amazon.com and download my 70 articles in the line of fire, 70 articles from the front line of the culture wars. My bottom line today, I encourage you to stir yourself in God. I encourage you to say, today is the day I go after God. Today is the day I refuse to live the way I've been living. Today is the day I make a difference for the kingdom.